Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Jesus this week is a lot less fun than the Jesus last week. Last week, Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And, "Thanks, Peter, for saying such nice things about me." This week, Jesus reprimanded, "Get behind me, Satan, and take up your cross and follow me." This is not nearly so attractive, Jesus. It is not a good bargain, not a good deal. Did I really sign up for this? Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow me." Now, the cross is not the way of prosperity or happiness. The cross is not the way to gain the very best of the material world. The cross is the way of death. It promises suffering, not luxury. Jesus doesn't command us to follow him to financial wealth and material riches. Jesus commands us to follow him as we carry our cross, our own cross, a device of death. This taking up our cross and following Jesus carries with it certain implications. It requires deliberation and discernment, wondering, pondering, like Mary pondered in her heart what her son Jesus was about. Over the years, Mary had to shift her expectations about her son Jesus. And so did Jesus' disciples have to shift their expectations. To them, Jesus' words in today's gospel must have shaken their expectations like an earthquake or a great flood washing away everything familiar. What do we expect of Jesus, who seems to keep on surprising us Sunday after Sunday, regular day after regular day, just like he surprised his disciples? Last Sunday, we learned that Jesus is the Messiah, Son of the living God. Right after that, Jesus spoke these words, "Suffer, be killed, be raised." Well, I don't want to suffer. And supposing I did agree to suffer with Jesus, like Jesus, how can suffering and death lead to being raised? We wonder, doesn't God desire goodness for God's creation, for us, God's creatures? If so, why does Jesus invite us to take up a cross? There seems to be a disconnect here. It is not fair. I have to agree with Simon Peter's protests. There is something very wrong about it. God should forbid it. But our God has never been about perfect fairness. About 600 years before Jesus walked the roads of the Holy Land, Jeremiah was God's prophet, walking those same roads. As Jeremiah points out in the first reading for today, the way he has been treated is not fair. Jeremiah is brutally honest with God. He lets loose with his anger against God. On your account, I suffered insult. Under the weight of your hand alone, for you had filled me with indignation. You are to me like a deceitful brook. And God doesn't seem to care that what has happened to Jeremiah was not fair. Tough, God says. Deal with it. You are mine. I have called you to do as I say, to utter precious words of challenge and pain, not worthless pablum like, God only wants you to be happy. Spend all your money on yourself so you will be happy. That is part of the prosperity gospel you might hear from Joel Osteen, not from the prophet Jeremiah. Joel Osteen, the megachurch and TV pastor located in Houston, who didn't open his dry, arena-sized church to his flooded neighbors until shamed by public outcry. Thankfully, there still are some in the general public who recognize the signs of a true follower of Jesus. The carrying of a cross, sacrificing one's belongings to help others. Like the people from states away who took their boats down there to rescue people flooded in their homes. Like the owner of the Houston mattress business who welcomed flood refugees to his stores and warehouse to live and sleep on his inventory. That is taking up your cross and following Jesus. That is following God's word of extending hospitality to strangers, as Paul mentioned. God's precious words are like God's precious word, Jesus, caring, but at a cost, sometimes a great cost. Jesus doesn't call us to a happiness where there is no pain. Jesus acknowledges pain and reminds us that we can have joy at the presence of God in the midst of that pain. Like the dread Pirate Roberts says in the movie The Princess Bride, life is pain, princess. Whoever tells you otherwise is selling you something. Jesus is not selling anything to these disciples, nor to us. Following Jesus is neither fair nor easy. It will lead to great reward, but first we have to go through the fire swamp. That is, pain and obstacles of others' making, or sometimes of our own making. God's economy is not fair. What would look like a fair economy? This for that. You work, you get something. I work. I get something. But even the world's economy is not fair. Some people work very hard and get very little. Others work very little and have a huge amount. In God's economy, it doesn't matter who works. All will suffer. All will receive grace. The gift is in recognizing that God is with us in the suffering as well as in the grace. The gift is in recognizing that God loves no matter what. God loves the sinner, and God loves the sinner. Is it fair that God loves sinners? Well, I think it is truly right and salutary that God should love and forgive me when I sin. I'm good with that. But I don't always think it is so fair that God loves and forgives people I don't like. For instance, ISIS and the Taliban, or white supremacists, or rapists. But God forgives more thoroughly than even I can hate. And God calls on me to love, to place on my shoulders the heavy weight of forgiving even my enemies. God places on my shoulders my giving up of my advantage for someone else's good. Jesus calls on all who would be his disciples to take up their crosses and follow him. Follow him to a new way of being. Follow him in community. Follow him caring for people the world doesn't care for. Follow him caring for people we might not care for. It is a strange economy God sets before us. For God says that what we count as worthless, God counts as precious. Yet that is where God calls us to live, to be, and to follow. Amen.